Yeah, Spider-Man and freezing full effect.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
For years, McDonald's has been trying to kill this photo.
It's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find. Can't get it out of my head. Miss her, kiss her, love
right
her.
Off your dad.
That girl is
never trust a big button to smile.
She's dangerous. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, baby, they're full of fat.
Yo, what's up to Ralph T and Johnny G?
Yeah,
and I can't forget about my boy.
Hello, everyone. Hold on one sec. I'm just going to add the stream to YouTube. Sorry. And I have to put in a title. So I can never start the show while on YouTube while the music is playing. So I have to do this separately because I don't want to get a strike for us. So welcome, everyone. Today, we are going to be talking, it's almost kind of like a part two of last week, where, you know, last week we talked about journaling, but we really talked about the subconscious and kind of getting the subconscious on board with what kind of habits that we're trying to replace or break or, you know, whatever. So when we talk about, okay, so I named this the Clean Living Project. And project to me is exactly what it is. It's basically this thing that we're working towards. And it can be very daunting because there's a lot of stuff that we find out that we have to change in our lives. And a lot of those things can end up being the habits that we have accrued in our lives. And habits are not so easy to break, as it were. So as a hypnotherapist, there are some kind of tips and tricks and just ways that I have learned to communicate with the subconscious and get it on board with what it is that you're trying to do. Because if your subconscious is not on board with what you are trying to do in your life, what you're trying to change, you are going to have a very hard time. It's going to feel like an uphill slog in the rain and mud the entire way. So it really is important to get our subconscious on board with what we are trying to change. And, you know, I always say, do what you can, where you can, and be patient with yourself in that this is a very long process. We might start off finding out about one thing in our lives that we need to change and that we want to change. And then it just kind of snowballs from there. And we realize that, wow, like my intro, everything is poison. So this has to do with not just what we're consuming as far as our food, but, you know, what we're using in our house, what we're using on our bodies, and even what we're paying attention to, what we're listening to, who we're around, everything. We just have to be really, really aware of everything that we're coming into contact with. And that is a lot of work. So that's why I'm here. That's why we're all here, to kind of learn it and do it and, you know, do it together so that we lighten the load a little bit and kind of find ways that will maybe hopefully make it a little bit easier in the process. So let's get started first and talk about our first two awesome sponsors, starting with Ascent Nutrition. As we get older, the memories we form can fade and when we need them the most. Sometimes remembering where you put your phone or keys can be a struggle. Life's most cherished moments can all too often slip through our fingers unless we guard against the ravages of time with one of nature's most powerful nootropics. Ascent Nutrition's organic Lion's Mane mushroom is truly one of a kind. Lion's Mane mushroom supports healthy memory, used by gamers and students to get an extra bang for their brain cell buck. It supports memory, focus, mental clarity, and mood, making life all that much sweeter. Lion's Mane mushrooms are also well known to help with gut health, digestion, and immunity. Ascent Nutrition's organic Lion's Mane mushroom is the only one that's grown longer for improved potency and power. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/ascent and use promo code BADLANDS to save 10% off all products ordered. That's badlandsmedia.tv/ascent. I have been taking their Lion's Mane now for, gosh, many, many months. Mushrooms are very interesting. There are so many medicinal purposes for mushrooms. We'll probably do an entire episode on mushrooms eventually, but yeah, we'll see. I really, really recommend the Lion's Mane first and foremost. That's the one that I have taken the most and I have the most experience with, and I've been taking Ascent. So highly recommend that. And Van Man. Introducing Van Man's new tallow and honey soap that has quickly become Van Man's most in-demand product. No extra ingredients, no fillers, just honey and vanilla and pure grass-fed tallow that produces a luxurious lather only found from real animal fat soap. The response has been crazy, so grab a few bars while you can. While you're there, you can be sure to be stock up on natural organic remedies like our famous tallow and honey balm, miracle tooth powder, and new tallow and zinc sunblock. We've got you covered, and we do it all with products sourced naturally from American farms and made in San Diego, California. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/vanman today and get free shipping on all orders over $40. That's badlandsmedia.tv/vanman. All right, friends. So, all right. Oh, I gotta move my slides because I was going through them before the show. So, like I said, subconscious is really important to get on board with what it is that we're trying to change in our lives. And so it's going to look different for different people. You know, some people want to quit smoking. Some people want to quit drinking soda. Some people want to exercise more or change the way that they eat, change, you know, what they tend to grab for when they're feeling stress. You know, is it chocolate cake? Is it a piece of candy? Is it a cup of coffee? Or is it a glass of water? You know, those kinds of things can make a big difference in our lives when we do them all the time. But if your subconscious is not on board with what it is that you're trying to change about yourself, then you are going to have a really rough time. So I was explaining last time, in case you missed it, that basically our subconscious is the computer program that tells us who we are and what we like and what, you know, what our automatic things are, what comes naturally to us. And what comes naturally to us are our habits, right? These are the things that we don't have to consciously do. In fact, sometimes we wish we weren't doing them, and we have to consciously try to fight the urge to do these things. So, you know, some of this might sound cheesy, and I get it. You know, these are going to be things that there's nothing maybe revolutionary that you may have never heard before. But I think it's important to see this all put in one place and kind of understand exactly why it is that we are, that we have to focus on this when we're talking about cleaning up our lives or trying to get rid of the toxicity in our lives. So change your mind. According to a clinical study, it takes about 66 days or 9 weeks to form a healthy habit. So repetition during that time. 9 weeks sounds like a really long time, and it is, right? And keep in mind that that was about average. It was kind of, there was a big, let's say, block where it was somewhere between, I think, 4 weeks to, I don't know, 100 and something, 4 weeks to 30 weeks or something like that. Anyway, some habits can be broken a lot faster. Obviously, this is a study where they're working with a bunch of different people on all kinds of things. But a lot of things I think even if the habit isn't completely broken after a few weeks, that tends to be when it starts to get a little bit easier. Now, it's going to depend on what you're trying to break. Are you trying to break just a habit, like a small thing that you do, or is it an actual addiction? Or they also said that it seemed to take a little bit longer to adopt physical habits, like, okay, I'm the person now that goes for a run in the morning versus something like switching water for coffee or whatever it is. So which they call simple single behaviors. And obviously addictions are going to take the longest and need the most support. But I think it's important that we keep focused on the fact that nothing takes forever and that we are not our habits. Even if you have had a habit your entire life, then that doesn't mean that you are condemned to die with that habit. We can change things. It can be difficult, but as long as you realize that there is an end date and you just keep pushing towards that end date, then you can get there. We can all get there. There are people that have done amazing things. I watch sometimes these inspirational videos online of people and their health journeys or their weight loss journeys in particular, because that's something that is really tangibly, physically obvious. And I am so inspired and blown away by what some people are able to accomplish, and sad that there are so many people out there that think, well, that's just not me. I'm not the kind of person that can change myself like that. And I think any one of those people that was able to turn themselves around would tell you, tell us, tell anybody that once upon a time they used to believe that as well. So Oingo Boingo's nasty habits is now stuck in my head. Esther, hi. Oh man, I used to love Oingo Boingo when I was growing up. Okay, identify triggers. So, okay, there are going to be things like, let's say, oh, I don't know, what's a bad habit? I eat a lot of candy. I know friends that have big sweet tooths, and they will reach for the candy. And so if you start documenting the times where you all of a sudden want that candy, it seems like a daunting task. It's a bit annoying, but you can start to form a pattern will arise. So pay attention to the situations, emotions, or cues that trigger your bad habit. Write down the circumstances you're in when the urge for the bad habit arises. Who are you with or in contact with? Like, did you just get off the phone with somebody? What environment are you in? Are you bored? Boredom is a big one. Sometimes just out of sheer boredom, our subconscious will kind of set into that just that mode of going into the habit. Well, nothing else to do, so I might as well sit down and eat. Stressed, how are you feeling? So when you start to write those things down, you may be missing something. You know, maybe sometimes it's obvious. Maybe sometimes you realize, like, oh man, every time I get off the phone with my ex-wife, I need a cigarette. That sounded a little bit different than I meant it. But anyway, you know, sometimes it might be a little bit more obvious like that. And sometimes it might just be that you need to kind of get it in front of your face so that you can at least recognize what it is. Boredom is a big one, because I think we, anytime we have downtime and we don't realize that really boredom is just like a breeding ground for, I think of bad habits as bacteria, and boredom is just like the wet sponge, like the warm, wet sponge that's just waiting for those to just breed and develop. So it can be a lot bigger of a thing than we realize. So write it all down without judgment. You know, don't say to yourself like, oh, I kind of know this, or no, it couldn't be that, because really what you're trying to do is establish a pattern that you might not be seeing. And eventually a pattern will form. Once you identify these triggers, you can work on avoiding or managing them effectively. Swap bad habits for good. Hold on one second. Okay. That sounds easy, but or it sounds trite, let's say. But they say you never really get rid of a habit. You have to swap it or change it out with something. So even replacing a bad habit with a better habit or like a not great habit might be a stepping stone you need. For example, I use this one just because I've known people that have done this, swapping smoking with, you know, eating candy. Obviously, we don't want to be eating candy all day, but smoking is one of the hardest. Esther says, journal our bad habits to change them. Exactly. So smoking is one of the hardest things to break. It might be even the hardest thing to break. I remember as a hypnotherapist, there were so many things, including addictions, that could be treated very effectively and rather quickly. But smoking was the one thing that it required a certain set of sessions that you have to do. It was like a very strict regimen. And that is because smoking is not just a physical addiction, it's a mental addiction and it's a chemical addiction. And so all of those wrapped into one, it's obviously very difficult. They say it can be even more difficult than breaking the habit of doing heroin. And I do know that there's some belief that black licorice, something about like actual black licorice, not just, you know, black licorice flavored things, but black licorice that actually contains real licorice in it can maybe be effective in helping to replace habits or something about it. So, if that's kind of the stepping stone that you need in order to help you break a habit, sometimes we need those. Make being healthier your thing. I have a slide next for this that I like. But make being healthier your thing, even if you have to be annoying about it. It helps the subconscious begin to identify with the better behavior. I'll just go into this one. So be obnoxious. We all know the people that just don't ever shut up about what it is that they are doing now, right? So, I can think of people that I worked with that they were always on a new diet. But not only were they always on a new diet, they had to tell everybody in the office about it. And it was like, whenever their lunch came out, it was like, oh, and like everybody gather around. Let me tell you about what I am doing now, what I am depriving myself of, and what I am switching, what I am eating. And, you know, people even do this on Instagram, where it's like they have to post about their new diet or their new exercise regimen or whatever. And I think our tendency sometimes is to be like, maybe roll our eyes at that. But I just want us all to kind of consider for a moment that, you know, to have a little bit of compassion and patience maybe with those people and also with ourselves, because it is easy to just be like a little bit irritated, especially if they're the kind of person that is always doing the new thing, always trying the new diet, always whatever it is, where you say to yourself like, oh gosh, they're, you know, this is just one more in the train of things that I have to hear about. But just keep in mind that they're trying to save their lives, you know, and that is important. It's really important. And they can be obnoxious about it. But sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, people that go through a million different diets or a million different things to break their bad habit or whatever it is, maybe it's a girl who's in an abusive relationship and can't get out of that relationship. And she's told you a million times that she's going to do it. And then she keeps going back to him or whatever it is. Eventually, sometimes those people do break free eventually. And so it's important to be supportive. And I really do look at it like that, like people saving their lives. I remember being with someone who I thought was a pretty good guy. And, you know, there was a woman running down the street who was very overweight, and she was running or like jogging down the street, obviously trying to get some exercise. And he said something really cruel about it. You know, she couldn't hear it, but thank God. But I remember just kind of thinking to myself, I kind of wanted to cry because it was just, that should have been a red flag. I kind of wanted to cry because I was like, she's trying to save her own life. And so I don't know, you know, I get it. We all get annoyed by the people that are trying to become the thing, right? So maybe it's drinking. maybe you have to go from being the guy who is the party animal, or we all know those people that are like, oh, why don't Kate, why don't you have a drink in your hand or whatever? And they're like, Mr. Good Time. Maybe somebody like that has to turn into Mr. Clean and Sober. You know, it can't just go from I'm like out here with this personality, because again, remember that it comes down to how we self-identify. And people that have that kind of personality are not just going to bury it. They need to revert it. They need to change it to something else. So maybe they need to be the new kombucha guy that's got to tell them, oh, I'm brewing kombucha now in my basement, and I bring my new bottle, you know, this obnoxious huge bottle of kombucha every time I hang out with you people, because I don't want to drink alcohol, and I'm hoping that people will ask me about this big obnoxious bottle of kombucha. You know, let them be and let them do their thing, and just remind yourself that even if people are annoying about it, if they are trying to improve themselves, then we should give them grace and just bite your tongue. And then also remember to have that grace, that same grace with yourself. I find it interesting that one doesn't always translate to another. So when I was going through my hypnotherapy training, one of the things that I got a special certificate with or of at the time was handwriting analysis. And one of the ways that we would test people in handwriting analysis in order to determine certain things about their personality, there is kind of a trick that you have them write down, you know, a few sentences, but you make sure that they write something that's a sentence that starts with the word I, like, you know, I am this kind of person or whatever it is. And essentially what it says, it's kind of hard without a visual representation. I know I have a slide about this somewhere because I talked about this before, not on this show, but on a presentation when I spoke at a conference. The amount of space that their eye takes up, like, is their eye a big, you know, floopy eye with a big long tail, or is their eye this skinny little stick? Versus the space between the I and the next word that comes. So the I is how much space it takes up is really how much space they give themselves. Or another way to put it is how much leeway they give themselves or how much grace they give themselves. Like these people, like somebody with a big elaborate I feels pretty good about themselves, and they're more likely to make excuses for themselves or tell themselves like, oh, it's, you know, I did this, but it's okay. I forgive myself. Versus the person that has the small eye, somebody that has a small skinny eye, those are the kinds of people that will typically apologize a lot. They're really hard on themselves. They don't ever want to make waves. They don't want to invade your personal space, definitely, but they are just very kind of, they're just harder on themselves, and they're not as confident, and they are trying to minimize themselves so that other people can shine. And then the space next to the eye is how much space they give other people. So for some people, it's pretty even. They have maybe a big fat eye, but then they've got a nice hearty space between the eye and the next word. And those kinds of people, they're forgiving of themselves, and they are compassionate with themselves, but they're also compassionate with other people. The people that have no space or very little space between the eye and the next word are obviously the people that don't give much leeway to other people or give them much space or give them much grace. But the interesting thing about handwriting is that, kind of like we were talking about in the last episode, it works in both directions. So while your handwriting is an indication of your personality, interestingly enough, if you change your handwriting, like if you consciously try to change your handwriting, you can change some of your personality, which is very interesting. When I had that done, okay, so my mom was a hypnotherapist before I was. So she learned that years before I did. And, you know, I was her guinea pig for everything. So she Oh, Virgo mom. Hello, Kate. Daughter got married last Friday to Army National Guard. So they sliced the cake with a saber. Oh my gosh, that's really cool. And congratulations. I love hearing that. Beautiful. So I don't know what's going on right now, but we have about a third of the people watching than we typically do. There have been some weird things going on Rumble. So anyway, I don't know what that's about. Or maybe people just have decided to leave me. they've just abandoned ship. It's fine. Okay, so if you change the handwriting. Oh, so I was saying when my mom used me as a guinea pig, I had a very skinny eye and then this gigantic space until the next word. And when she explained to me what that meant, it was very clear to both of us who knew me kind of that it was just spot on. I was a very, you know, kind of, not that I was an outgoing person, but as far as I'm very hard on myself, I still tend to be. I will not just take responsibility for everything, but I will, you know, take the blame for everything, even if it's not actually mine. And I have a hard time with that. So I have tried to change, you know, my handwriting consciously. I have to think about it. But when you make those conscious changes, it actually, your subconscious works on symbolism and symbols. And that symbol is actually now feeding that back to the subconscious. And you can kind of start to, you'll start to feel a little bit different. So I feel like that's really interesting. But yeah, guys, be obnoxious. Be as obnoxious as you need to be when it comes to saving your own life. You know, who cares? We always make fun of vegans, right? Vegans, they really feel like they're doing something healthy for themselves. And maybe they are. Maybe there are people. I believe this is true. I think every body is different. And I think there are some people who just tend to thrive on different diets. I know there are people that really thrive on the carnivore diet where they just eat nothing but meat. I love meat. I eat a lot of meat, but I tried that and I was just like, I felt so heavy and like sweaty, like oily and just not good. It did not make me feel good. So maybe we know that people have different blood types and all of that. And it's possible that people have different physical makeups that make certain diets work for them or not. But, you know, it's the joke. I think I even have memes on my phone or something of the vegans that have to tell you 9 times in the first 5 minutes that of meeting them that they are vegan. But, you know, be like that with what you're changing in your life. You know, if that's going to help you start to identify yourself, start to make that your identity, why not? Set or create clear goals and action plans. So I'm a big geek about writing things down, but there's a reason for that, guys. It's not just, I'm not like a scrapbooker by heart. It's just that I know what it does. So writing these things down so you can not just see them, you know, a lot of us are very visual. See them, but also be able to go back and revisit them. Because sometimes we think, oh, sure, you know, like I'm going to remember what goals I'm working on and whatever. Sometimes we forget. It's the weirdest thing. Sometimes we forget like what we really set out to do. And maybe because we've achieved it or maybe because who knows. But to be able to go back and look at those things and remind ourselves, especially even daily, is really worth its weight in gold. So set specific, measurable goals for breaking the habit and create actionable steps to achieve them. Having a clear plan increases motivation and accountability. Keeping track of your progress will also help you stay on track. You may want to start small and break down the habit into smaller, more manageable steps. Write it all down and continue to revisit it daily. It's important to set goals that are achievable. And so while you can have a big goal that is, you know, achievable down the line, it's also important to have things in the meantime that are achievable in the meantime so that you can constantly be getting those wins. I don't remember what episode it was on, but I had told you guys about, I had a slide about victory before breakfast, which I'm a huge fan of. You guys know that I'm a morning person. I get up like with the sun. And I like to accomplish one thing that makes me feel like I've accomplished something, so that it sets the tone for the rest of the day. And it really does do something psychological to you to be, to have that victory before breakfast. It's like putting things off is a horrible feeling. And to have accomplished at least one thing, I remember my mom teaching me to organize my to-do list from the things that I could do right now, or the things that can get done the quickest, to the things that are going to take longer. Because once you start ticking off those smaller things, like, okay, what can I accomplish right now? Okay, like, I can get up and go clean my kitchen. And once you start like clearing those things off of your to-do list, then it will, you kind of keep the ball rolling and you will continue to be productive, if that makes sense. So it's the same thing with our victories in reaching our goals. So if there is, okay, let's say one of your goals is trying to drink more water. Get up and drink a big glass of water and like get that, you know, get that already under your belt for the day. By the way, drinking water in the morning is a way more effective way to wake up and energize your body than coffee will ever be. But coffee is a ritual, right? When I have gone without coffee before for long periods of time in my life, but I always had to replace the ritual. It always had to be replaced with like tea or hot water. I even tried bone broth for a little while, which I really liked. It was in the winter time and I was like, oh, this is really, and I don't know why I got away from it, but there are just other things about coffee that keep me coming back. But you know, stuff like that. Virgo mom says, Kate, should it be warm water in the morning or cold? Well, so I have heard that really, cold water is not great for you. Obviously, cold water is refreshing. I live in Arizona. I love cold water, but I don't do, like, I used to fill my cup up with a ton of ice and drink my water that way. This is, okay, so now there's no ice in this, but typically what I do is I put a lot less ice in my water and I fill it up. I have a reverse osmosis, so it comes out room temperature. It's not like from the refrigerator where it's cold already. And I kind of get it. It's just like a little bit cool. So it should be, my rule of thumb is that it should be cold enough to chug. Or I'm sorry, it should be the right temperature to chug. If it's too cold to chug, not that you should be chugging water, because chugging anything is not great, you know, expanding the stomach that quickly. And you just, it's you don't want to shock your body. It's never a good idea to shock your body. But if it's like the temperature there where you could take some nice big gulps and it's not too cold, you're not going to get brain freeze. By the way, I feel like I have brain freeze right now because I broke a bottle of perfume all over my desk like 10 minutes before I went live. So I cleaned it up mostly, but I'm just like, smells lovely in here, but you guys know how sensitive I am to smell. So I am like, I'm like fighting it back right now. Anyway, so I would say room temperature water is probably always the healthiest. But that's just as far as I know. I'm not sure. Okay. Let's go really quickly into our next two sponsors. And yeah.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale. And here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My Slippers and Sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
I just noticed, let me get rid of this really fast. CSUSB Geochem 1 said in the chat, FYI, popped in to let everyone know I've started my old dog on Fenben, lumps all over. That's very interesting. Please come back and let us know how that goes. I'm really interested in hearing about that. I mean, I've talked before about really all this show is a maybe just a series of me repeating myself, I find. But when I was doing the parasite cleanse and I was taking the fenbendazole, eventually somebody had mentioned I feel like it was while I was doing it, there was a conversation going on about the ability that fenbendazole could take away tumors or lumps. And I had a breast lump that I'd had for years, 20 years. And, you know, upon hearing this, I was like, and it, you know, it was not something to worry about as far, I had it since I was 19 and the doctor was kind of like, you know, we're not worried about it. Just kind of monitor it. If it ever starts to, you know, be a weird shape or grow very quickly, then we should take a look at it or whatever. But it was just kind of always there and it steadily grew. And anyway, it was a few months into doing that where I was taking the fenbendazole and I went to check it and it was like almost completely gone. And so I don't know, but that is very interesting. So I share that again, not being a doctor or a scientist or somebody that knows anything, but I do think that's interesting. So yes, please do come back and let us know how that goes. All right, guys, Benson Honey, Badlanders love Benson Honey Farms. Indulge in the authentic, unpasteurized, 100% natural honey, a product of diligent bees working the fields of wildflowers. It's as raw and robust as the spirit of Badlands. When you're seeking the taste that's real, pure, and American, choose Benson Honey Farms, the sweetness born and bred in the heart of Nebraska. Don't forget to try the goat's milk honey soap. Benson Honey Farms, a celebration of the America First spirit, a symbol of the resilience of our homeland, embodying the spirit of Badlands, their family-run operation is a reminder that the true flavor of America lies in its heartland. Benson Honey Farms, proudly American, naturally delicious. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/honey. That's badlandsmedia.tv/honey. Okay, why won't that go away? Okay, there it goes. All right. Oh, it is very fragrant in here. Okay. Well, speaking of being obnoxious, using visual reminders to keep you kind of on track, there is something to having something in your face. So, okay. I want to remember when the book The Secret became massive. Okay, so I read the book The Secret then, and The Secret is kind of goofy, but there is a reason that that book got as popular as it did. And yes, part of it has to do with the fact that Oprah pushed it, but people were having success with it. And The Secret was kind of all about visualizing what it is that you want from life, even to the point of making vision boards and all these housewives started making vision boards and then telling their story about how they made the vision board with the dream home and the dream whatever, and all of a sudden they got it, right? This is not witchcraft. Well, it might be a little bit. I actually did a deep dive into The Secret and connected it to some pretty wonky stuff. And so, but again, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh my gosh, it must be evil. I think that there are things in life that are tools. And I think those tools can, be used for evil, but they can also be used for good as well. And I think, you know, anytime when people talk about manifestation, sometimes it's just, you know, your subconscious mind getting it on board. Things will start to happen that will feel like they are outside of you. All of a sudden, things will start feeling like they're happening for you. But we really need to take into consideration what small changes in ourselves can actually do to our environment. And we might not even realize it. So maybe something that you're doing that gets you to accept deserving certain things in your life might very minutely change the way that you behave or act towards other people or the way that you do your work or whatever it is. And those small changes can become like ripples in a pond where it starts out very small, but grows very big. So it can have massive impact in your life. And that's what the secret is, right? That's what it was about. And it really, it was kind of like a backdoor version of hypnosis in a way, because when you're trying to get the subconscious on board with something, very best way, most effective, most efficient, quickest way is hypnotherapy, hands down. But there are other ways to do that as well. It's not the only way to change your subconscious. But interestingly enough, Kara B, hi friend, says 2007 was when Oprah put it on her show. Yeah, I think I read it that very year, and I started doing. Esther, you're always getting songs in your head. Tattooed Teacher says manifesting your reality, positive self-talk is so important. Yeah, all of these things are very, very important, and it has everything to do with the subconscious. When I worked with professional athletes, when I was a hypnotherapist, one of the things that I would have them do is something called the mental bank. And if we have time at the end, which we will, because there aren't any shows after this, so we'll be able to talk about this. I wanted to talk about this last week, but we didn't get around to it. So we'll talk about it today. There's something called the mental bank. And you know how it's notorious that people will win the lottery and then they will blow the money instantly. It's just like, it's the standard story. We hear about it all the time. Oh, you know, these people won $1 million and whatever dollars and they ended up blowing it on cigarettes and Mountain Dew, whatever. There is a psychological reason for that. And that psychological reason is that our subconscious minds already have an idea about how much money we are worth. It has an idea about how much we are worth in other areas also, how much we are worth in relationships, how much we are worth in everything. But this is a really clear way to look at it. So you've got a subconscious idea of literally a precise amount of money. And so this can vary throughout your life a little bit. It can change, right? You can get your subconscious on board gradually with being comfortable with making more money, but it all has to do with what your perception is as a child, what you perceive. We talked about this last week. Do you perceive that money is something that's just abundant and that comes to you and that you will always be supported in life? Those kinds of people will operate differently in their lives. That's why people that start $1 million businesses can lose it all and start a $1 million business again. I know people that have started many multi-million dollar businesses throughout the course of their lives. Whereas I also know people that will never start even one in their entire life. So there's obviously a big variation between individuals. And again, it goes back to what our subconscious is comfortable with, because everything runs on a pain pleasure principle. Everything runs with what is accepted by your subconscious as far as, does it feel foreign? Does it feel unknown to the subconscious, or does it feel known? If you hand somebody a check for $1 million that lives in a trailer park, for example, then their subconscious might say to them, whoa, this is very different from how we live and what we are used to, what we identify with, right? And their subconscious can say, this warning, this is not what we know. This is foreign. This is change. We don't like change. We like things to stay exactly the way that they are. And despite the person trying to, being excited and wanting to use it to invest and, you know, use this money to create a better life for themselves or whatever it is, their subconscious will start to sabotage them and they will start to make decisions with the money that, I mean, even if they do make an investment, it's crazy what our subconscious knows. It has nothing to do with being psychic. There are so many clues and indicators and messages that we are picking up that we don't even realize that we're picking up. Like I said, our subconsciouses are evil geniuses. We don't stand a chance against them. Even as smart as we might be, the subconscious is always smarter. So they might even make an investment saying, well, I'm making an investment. I'm not blowing it on something stupid. And it will be an investment that doesn't pan out because subconsciously they kind of know that they're taking a risk that doesn't have anything to back it up. So that's why Same thing happens or can happen with a professional athlete that signs a check, or I'm sorry, that signs a contract that is now worth millions of dollars. Most of these professional athletes, most people in general, don't grow up in million-dollar families. They grow up in average homes, or, you know, maybe even less than average or whatever it is. There are a lot of really cool underdog stories about athletes who grow up with nothing. I mean, wasn't it O.J. Simpson? O.J. Simpson came and spoke at my middle school. And he had a very cool underdog story. Maybe we should bury that one. But, you know, there are other athletes. I think, whatever, it doesn't matter, because I can't bring up an athlete that I don't think is evil. So we're just going to skip over that. But, you know, a lot of people who grow up with nothing, and then all of a sudden, because of their abilities or whatever it is, they end up signing contracts for these millions of dollars. Well, what then can happen? And we've seen it happen a lot. And actually the, whatever. So what my son's baseball coach was played for the MLB. Is that what it is? Yeah. And so I was just talking to him and his wife about this. So, and he confirmed with me, he's like, oh yeah, I know that well, that you have these athletes, let's say it's a pitcher and they are the best, you know, the best of the best since childhood. And they're already starting to get recruited, and they've got scouts coming to look at them in high school and college. And they are just, you know, almost robotic with their accuracy and are just at the top of their game. All of a sudden they sign these contracts for millions of dollars, and suddenly the kid can no longer throw a ball. And that has everything to do with our subconscious. So what I would do with the athletes that I worked with is the mental bank, which is this goofy thing that is actually really cool, that gets your subconscious primed for accepting more worth, not just financially. All of those things end up translating to other things as well, because obviously the world is not about money. But also, unfortunately, money makes the world go. I mean, you could be the most benevolent person on the planet. You still need money in order to, you know, even be able, you can't help anybody if you can't survive in this world. So unfortunately it's just a part of life. So money is, you know, the thing that we work on. It's also, like I said, it's symbolic of other things. The subconscious works with symbolism, and it is a representation that we can kind of put to paper. Cause, you know, if you try to gauge your worth in a relationship, that's a lot harder to find a symbolism to communicate with the subconscious on that. So dollars are easier. Pig Iron Patriot. Think people are most magnetic when in God's Holy Spirit. Faith can move mountains, and anything you ask in Jesus's name will be given to you. A secret hidden in plain sight of disbelief. Excuse me. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, you know, I think that there are different words for it, right? We all have moments, maybe, hopefully, I hope, where we kind of feel in the zone, maybe, or like, you know, our vibration just feels higher. And for a lot of people, that is God or religion that gives that them that connection, where it's just, or it can be, maybe God and religion come from the notion of something bigger than you. So instead of being laser focused on all your, you know, little problems, not that your problems are little, my problems are little too, but in the grand scheme of things, right? In the grand scheme of, you know, my can't get my car to start this morning versus God, like obviously, which is bigger. So to put your focus outside of those things can help you function on a different level. And that change in you will change your environment. I'm not saying it will necessarily get your car to start, but you might attract somebody into your life that's like, hey, you know, you seem like a nice, happy person. I'm a mechanic. Can I help you out? Stuff like that. So very interesting. That was a whole ass tangent, but I hope that it was fascinating to you guys. So visual reminders, place visual reminders in prominent places to keep your goals and progress in mind. This could be a sticky note on your mirror or a digital reminder on your phone. Even vision boards, which may sound cheesy, with images, quotes, and symbols representing your goals and desired habits can be effective in breaking through to the subconscious. Just put it right in your face be obnoxious even with yourself, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Create accountability. Don't go it alone. Share your goals with supportive friends, family, or a therapist slash coach. Having accountability partners can provide encouragement, feedback, and motivation during challenging times. Find a friend who wants to work on strengthening the same goal and work together. You know, if you've got a friend who maybe lives close by and you want to embark on a fitness journey together where you're just like, let's commit to each other that we are going to go for a walk like 4 or 5 times a week. And, you know, even when the other person doesn't want to do it, the other person goes and drags them out by their sideburns and vice versa. You can share in that together. But even if you don't have somebody that's working on the same goal as you, to find other people that are supportive, that are going to ask you about it, or that you also can just go to and say, hey, you know, I did the thing. You know, I did the thing all 5 days of the week so far, and they will be proud of you, and somebody that you can just communicate with. Or, you know, or when they ask you about it, you don't want to say to them like, oh, man, I was doing really well there for a while, but then I let myself stop. Because when you do it by yourself, two things can happen. One is that we don't feel accountable enough. We're just like, whatever. Or we start feeling really bad about missing the session or missing the whatever it is, that it actually starts to become a deterrent from doing the things. So it's really helpful to have a support system. Routine and repetition. So obviously these play a crucial role in habit formation. By leveraging the power of our subconscious mind, when we engage in a behavior, our brain begins to recognize and automate the action, making it a seamless part of our daily routine. This process, known as habit automation, reduces the mental effort required to perform the task, making it easier to stick with over time. By constantly following a routine, we train our subconscious to accept new habits, integrating them into our lifestyle without conscious effort. Routine also came up in the Blue Zone episode. So the Blue Zones were basically, in a nutshell, I think it was a couple guys that worked for National Geographic, and they identified this one pocket of the world. I think that one was in Greece, where the people there just lived longer. They had happier, more thriving lives. And so not only did they live, there were more people that lived into their hundreds, but they lived into their hundreds and were also very still vibrant and healthy. And so they started to kind of study what these people did. And then they identified, 4 other regions in the world that also had this incredible longevity and were a lot healthier into their hundreds. And so they kind of cross-referenced all of them and found what these people all have in common as far as their lifestyle that might be contributing to this extended and healthier life. And several of the things that they found across the board, you know, obviously eating more fresh food, they worked a lot more with their bodies and hands. So it wasn't like sit at a desk all day and then go pump iron for an hour and then go eat McDonald's and go to bed. It was like more of how the body is naturally meant to work. Like they were washing clothes on, you know, one of those scrubby boards, or they walked places rather than driving their cars. And one of the things that they shared in common was routine. They had daily routines. So life can be very chaotic, especially if you're a parent. Things can be different every day. You know, today we've got soccer and baseball and, you know, I've got a meeting for this and whatever. So your day can be very different every day. But as much as you can, try to stick to a routine. Like in the morning, I get up and I do these things in this order. And when I go to bed at night, I do these things in this order. It really does help you stay on track with all kinds of things. So the routine and the repetition, those are two things that speak to the subconscious. Again, when you're trying to create a pattern or a habit, the habit comes through routine and repetition. And that's how we, by the way, formed our bad habits as well. It was just, those were more pleasant. We didn't have to consciously think about doing them. They were probably things where we're just like, okay, I'm going to grab a soda. I'm feeling tired. I got addicted to Diet Dr. Pepper for a time in my life when I was working a desk job. And I was just like, oh, it was mundane. And just like the blue light raining down on my head. And it was not fun. So I would drink Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper all day long. And, it became a habit that took me a lot to break. Oops, I just did something weird. Okay. Practice visualization and affirmations. Again, it might sound geeky. It might sound geeky, but you know what? Be a geek. You're saving your life. You're fixing yourself. So being a geek is not a bad thing. Being a geek is actually pretty cool, in my opinion. Visualize yourself successfully breaking bad habits, forming healthy habits, and reinforce positive belief through affirmations. You don't have to be, what was that guy's name on SNL? It wasn't Jack Handy. Jack Handy was the deep thoughts guy. It was the, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me. You don't have to do that, but you can write these things down, which actually is more effective. And it helps to reprogram subconscious beliefs and reinforces positive change. Write down your affirmations before bed while falling asleep. Do your best to, so write down your affirmations for bed and then also before bed. Sometimes I can speak English, but it's, you know, it's my third language. So write down your affirmations for before bed. And then while falling asleep, do your best to focus on picturing yourself after you've achieved your goal. Like, what does that look like? What do you feel like? What does your environment look like? Does your house look different? Does your apartment look different? Do your relationships look different? You know, is your car clean? Are your shoes different? Like, really be as specific as possible, trying to get this image in your head of what the version of yourself is like after you have achieved your goal. What else? What does your life look like? And what else will it open up for you? So be as clear as you can. Like, the better the mental picture you can get in your head, the clearer the image is with your subconscious, and the more effective it is at, you know, kind of impregnating the subconscious with that idea. Rewards and reinforcement. Celebrate small successes along the way and reward yourself for progress. Positive reinforcement helps lock in new behaviors and creates a sense of accomplishment. These can be as simple as a visual reminder, like a post-it note on your mirror or fridge, a phone call to a friend or loved one who will be excited for you, or even a social media post celebrating your achievement. Again, obnoxious. I don't care. We see people doing it and whatever. We got to get over being annoyed with people for that kind of stuff. Let them celebrate. Let them celebrate the little victories. Man, you guys, life is hard. Life is really freaking hard. So let's just try our best to be as supportive as we can to each other and be supportive of ourselves as well. Give yourself grace, give others grace, and it will reflect into your life. You know, it will, instead of being that wet sponge that is breeding bad habits, you will create a wet sponge of gratitude and you will breed gratitude in your dirty, wet sponge. And that is really the place that you want to be. And in forming more gratitude in your life, remember, gratitude is not the effect. It is an effect, but it is more importantly a cause. There is always something to be grateful for. Don't wait to be grateful. Don't say to yourself, as soon as I get X, Y, and Z, then I will find gratitude. Find the gratitude now, and I promise you, X, Y, and Z will come to you a lot quicker. Was that my last slide? Nope. So be patient with yourself. This is my last slide. It's common to experience setbacks or lapses during the habit-breaking journey. Practice self-compassion and a willingness to learn from setbacks, and don't allow it to break the stride of your persistence. Don't beat yourself up and be like, okay, I give up. Persistence is everything. That is the difference between someone who wins and someone who doesn't. It's the heart. I was just saying this to my mother. The hardest battles are the ones that are fought, that can only be fought a little bit every day. Like, my mom and I are tenacious when it comes to if something has to be done, we will sit down for 12, 19, 172 hours and be like, and power through it. But unfortunately, there are things in life that you just, that just require having to do a little bit every day. Like, we want to do it all at once. It's so much easier to just be like, oh, can I just make myself suffer for the next 3 days and then accomplish my goal. But a lot of things just literally require us to constantly take a step every single day. That is like Chinese water torture to some of us. So don't allow one misstep or several missteps to make you just be like, okay, I give up. Remind yourself that persistence is the key and that all those little steps, that's why I like to write it down. That's why I've got, you know, my journals with all my little crazy dots. Those dots are persistence. And I can look at my persistence. You know, I can forget. It's like some of the things that I'm doing, you know, if you ask me like, oh, how long ago did you change and make the determination to do this every day? I could be like, oh, you know, it's been, gosh, maybe like 4 weeks. And I'll look back and I've been doing it for 3 months. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. It doesn't feel like it's been that long at all. Time and my brain don't work all that well together. But so persistence is the key. Remind yourself that setbacks are literally part of the journey of every life. So just get right back on track. Don't beat yourself up. Okay, so that was my last slide. Parent 5X says, find the good in everything, no matter how minuscule. Yes. Sicknard or Slicknard says, I wish more couples were totally committed to each other. I don't know where that came from. Maybe there was something earlier, but I agree. I think, you know, this is something that Ash and I have talked about on Raising a Nation before, certainly, just that everything is disposable, I guess, these days. It doesn't have to be that way, but it also, you can change yourself, and if your partner doesn't change themselves, then you might be at an impasse, and that's really, really difficult, because I think that's the most difficult thing of all, is that we can change ourselves, but a lot of what is, you know, hurting us, harming us, or whatever it is outside of us, right? It's the deep state, guys. We want to change the deep state. And, but I truly firmly believe that when we do change ourselves, we create these ripples that we have no idea how powerful we are. If that is the one message that I can impart with the Clean Living Project and also with the Kate Awakening show, is that we are so powerful. It breaks my heart that all of us, myself included, I have to take my own advice a lot. My mom is always telling me, like, go back and watch your own show. Like, something takes over me, I think. And all of these things come out of my mouth that apparently subconsciously I know, but that doesn't mean that I can very easily put them into practice, right? I get better. I'm getting better. At doing the things, but it's still very hard to break old habits of feeling like I have no worth or that I'm powerless or letting people treat me terribly or take advantage of me or whatever it is. That's stuff that I need to change. Like, yes, I could look at the big bad world. I could look at the people around me and be like, you know, it's you guys, I'm not wearing my extensions today. I did not cut my hair. I'm not wearing my extensions today. Because it makes me touch my hair because I'm constantly trying to like blend them into that each other. And I honestly could not, I just can't take anyone being mean to me anymore. Like right now, typically I can handle it. But I was just like, I can't give anyone any more fodder to be mean to me right now. I just can't do it. So I'm just like, it's the dumbest thing, but that's why I did it. My friends. I was just recently the other day with my friends. This just reminded me of just a side story. I was with a bunch of my girlfriends and one of them was like, you're so weird. She's like, when people tell you like, oh, I really like your hair. You're always like, oh, thanks. They're extensions. Or when someone's like, I really like your shirt. You're like, oh, thanks. I got it at Target. Or when someone's like, oh, you look skinny. You're like, thanks. I just had diarrhea for a week. So I'm super dehydrated. She's like, what is with you? And I'm just like, I don't know. First of all, I want to be honest with people. And also it's like, if they like something, I want to help them have it too. So I'm like, oh, you like my hair? Would you like to borrow it? So anyway, I don't know what that is about me, but I constantly rat on myself. I tell on myself all the time. I don't know how to not tell on myself, I guess. But I really don't mind it. I don't mind being that way. I think it's fine. So anyway, where was I? Esther says we wear our heart on our sleeve, Kate. Yes. Yeah. And that's okay. Terrifying, right? That's, you know, like my mom said, or I have said, when after having my son, realizing the trueness of what people had told me before I had him that I didn't get, which was that having a child is like wearing your heart outside your body, which I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. Cause it's like, oh, I can look at it and you know, it's this precious little thing. No, dude, that's terrifying. That's like a colostomy bag, but times a million. It's like, don't touch me. Don't, you know, like that is, it's terrifying. And it is terrifying having a kid because now you literally have something outside of your body that you cannot survive without. And so it's scary. It's like, oh, I'm going to take my heart out of my rib cage today and put a little backpack on it and send it out into the world. It's like, what? That's terrifying. But it's also the way that it should be. So I guess we just have to suck it up. I am who I am. Okay, so do you guys want to talk about the mental bank? We can. I have a little bit of time. Miss Mumsy says, I literally make it awkward when it doesn't have to be. Oh, man. We are kindred spirits. That's funny. Okay, well, at least I'm not alone. So I don't even know if you can get this book. Let me actually look that up really fast. That's probably something I should have. Okay. Wait, what? Well, that's interesting. Okay, you can get it. But interestingly enough, there is another book with the same title. Okay, so this book, Success is Not an Accident, The Mental Bank Concept, written by John G. Kappas. So John G. Kappas was the guy who started the hypnotherapy school that I went to. And he was essentially who discovered, you know, once upon a time, they thought that only certain people could be hypnotized by others. They knew hypnosis was like a phenomenon that happened in the consciousness of all human beings. But as far as having somebody else hypnotize you, they used to think that only like certain people could be hypnotized. And Kappas was the one who discovered that it actually has to do with how people interpret or how they process information. So if you're speaking to somebody that processes information a certain way, you're not going to get through to them if you're not speaking to them in basically their language, which is, you know, there are a couple different kinds of ways that you do it. So you have to find out how people process information. And then once you have that, then you can hypnotize all people. So it was very revolutionary for hypnosis, which is why he started the school in California that I went to. It was called the Hypnosis Motivation Institute. And my mom went there in the 80s, whatever. So these are very 80s because this is literally when this is from. So Success is Not an Accident by John G. Kappas. This is the explanation of the mental bank theory that I was telling you about, where it's basically like a type of journaling that you do every day that is kind of like balancing a checkbook, where you pay yourself specific monetary amounts. You don't actually, like, there's no actual exchange of money, but you are building up what you are doing, and you attach them to certain monetary amounts so that every night when you are adding to that, it is getting your subconscious to accept you being worth these amounts of money. So this is what I would have my baseball players do and whatever, And this is the mental bank ledger. So this is, and you don't need to buy this. You can literally just, sorry, George or John. He was John George Kappas. And then his son was George John Kappas. And he took over the school when I went there. So I get them confused. But anyway, this you can just do in a notebook. Miss Mumsy says, I want to do hypnotherapy, but it seems super intimidating. Like I will say things and not remember. Well, this is what I have to say to that, that you are intimidated by hypnotherapy. Good. That intimidation is part of the reason that hypnosis works so well. And don't be afraid. I mean, if you're in a clinical setting, who cares what you say, right? It doesn't matter. Don't be afraid to embarrass yourself. Trust me, once you're hypnotized, you will not care. You will not care about, you know, you won't feel embarrassed or whatever. You'll just feel really relaxed. But also just keep in mind, it is not an out-of-body experience where you no longer have control over the functions of your body. You are always in control in hypnosis. You're just ultra, ultra relaxed. So don't be afraid of it. It's way too helpful to let something like that deter you from doing it. I mean, what kind of secrets could you possibly have? It doesn't matter. And you know, hypnotherapists, they hear all kinds of stuff. So it doesn't matter. But not that I don't want to say it like that and make it sound like everybody just spills the beans when they're in hypnosis. It really is not like that. You'll see. I promise you. You won't embarrass yourself. It's really not like that. You're just very relaxed. But you still have all of your facilities. You still have your conscious mind doesn't disintegrate. It's still there. You still have that inner voice that's like, do I want to say this? Do I not want to say this? And trust me, if you have a deep, dark secret that you do not want to tell anybody or something that would just be absolutely mortifying to you to let anyone know, then you won't say it. Esther, well, you know, it happens. Life happens. And you're probably more likely to do that during yoga anyway. I wouldn't worry about it. Okay, moving on. I say the mental bank ledger. It's actually interesting in here because my mom has her notes from the 80s, but she never did the mental bank. So all the mental bank stuff that's in here is all mine. And it's from 2005 when I was going through hypnotherapy school. Or 2006? It would be cool if I could read my writing. But anyway, the essential breakdown of it is you're making a contract with yourself. And in this contract, when you start it off, I will have, you know what, these are in my slides from last week because I meant to talk about the mental bank ledger last week. So mental bank is in last week's slides if you're looking for this. So my new mental script contract says, please read whatever. We don't need that. So this is what you would be writing down. I blank, I Kate, agree on this blank day of blank 19 blank to rewrite my mental bank script to arrive at a yearly income of blank. What is your goal? Don't be stingy with yourself. What is it? This is your goal that you're talking about. We really have the tendency to diminish our hopes and dreams and feel like we have to barter, you know, like, well, I can't dream too big. Or if I dream that big, then, you know, maybe I'll get that, but then maybe God will take away something that I love also. Get that out of your head. Get that out of your head. Life does not work that way. It is not about trading or bartering. That is what this is for. It is to show you that the things that you are already doing are creating value to you as a human being and worth. And that worth has a tangible reality in this world that we live in. You know, what makes a human being worthwhile? What makes them worth money? You know, there are people that get paid for all kinds of occupations. Maybe they're really kind and sympathetic. And so they become a really awesome counselor or life coach or something like that. So that can have a monetary amount attached to it. But it's really important for us to not be stingy with ourselves, because the universe, God, is never going to give you, you know, more than what you're really setting your sights on. Very, very rarely in life does that ever happen. So set your goals higher than what comes naturally to you, because keep in mind, you're right now operating from the programming of what your subconscious already believes. And the whole point is to break out of that. So set a high goal. So let's say you want a yearly income of $250,000, right? This amount will represent 25% of my mental bank balance. So wait, do I have that? Oh, which will be blank. So I'm trying to remember how it goes. So let's say you set a goal for, you set the mental bank goal for $1 million, let's say. And I think the real life representation of that will be 25% of that, which is 250,000, whatever. Anyway, it's in the book and it'll be in the notes. I will arrive at this amount by paying myself a base amount of blank per hour for value events listed below, with varying amounts for special activities listed. So what are value events or special activities? Value events are the things that you do that move you towards your goal. All goals, right? When you picture yourself on the other end of this, if you were to say to yourself, me being a worthy person looks like this. Am I organized? Am I healthy? Am I fit? Am I making more time for friends and family? What does it look like to achieve your goal? Like, where do you want to be? Do you want to be closer with certain people in your life? Do you want to be kinder and more patient? Do you want to be, you know, keep your house cleaner? Do you want to, whatever it is. So identify first what all of those things are, and then identify what actions you would take to move yourself closer to those goals. Like, okay, well, I really want to make sure that I call my mother. I want to have a closer relationship with my mother. I want to be better to my mother. And so calling my mother is a value event that will move me closer to that goal. So write all those things down, and then you basically can determine whether it's something that you're paying yourself by the hour for. So if you're calling your mother, you're paying yourself $250 an hour, which, you know, in my opinion is almost enough. But, and then certain things like, okay, I want to drink more water because I am I'm a dry, cranky B word. Then obviously you don't pay yourself by the hour for the water. But okay, let's see if I can do this without embarrassing myself too much. I was going through this earlier and it was like, be more patient with my ex-husband. And this was while we were dating. We weren't even married yet. So yeah. And by the way, you pay yourself for doing the ledger, because that is also creating value. You're holding yourself accountable. So that's moving you closer to your goal. So you're paying yourself for that. Writing down affirmations, doing the ledger, working out, you know, making a social media post. If, you know, you're trying to run a business and you need to market yourself. Let's see. Finish reading a book. Like, if you are, do you want to read more? You could pay yourself per hour for reading a book, or pay yourself a little bit extra for actually finishing a book if you're the kind of person that starts a bunch of books and then doesn't finish them. Full day with no alcohol. That was apparently very important to me in 2006. this is actually interesting. Full day with no meat. I was trying to be a vegan, I guess. Full hour on the treadmill. Bedtime routine. That was something I really had to work on back then. Doing the ledger, talking to my family, all of the things. And you literally just like total it up every night, like you're balancing a checkbook. What did I do today? What did I earn? And total it all up. And then every night you write in handwriting, not print. I see you guys. I see you men with your capitalized letters for everything, for whatever reason. As of this date, I have earned and accumulated. And then you write it out like you would write a check. Don't write 138. As of this date, I have earned and accumulated $145,224.60. I don't know where the cents came from. There must have been something in there where I give myself cents. Anyway, it sounds goofy, you guys, but I swear by it. It's very interesting. And, oh, you also want to write down your happenings that are essentially like, did something happen that helped you move closer or that was an indication that you are getting closer to your goals? So let's see. Trying to find good examples. I wrote down, I confirmed 3 appointments with my MLB pitcher. That was obviously a goal for me, was to continue working as a hypnotherapist and actually making money as a hypnotherapist. So that was a good indication that I was moving in the right direction, right? So basically writing down kind of the wins that you have. Some of these are a little bit embarrassing. And then you write down your investments, which I don't think I was doing that part right. Because as I recall, oh my gosh. Okay. So anyway, you guys, I don't know if that helps at all, but it really is a good exercise to help the subconscious start to attach a monetary value that is higher than what it already perceives. Because again, if you don't do something like this, yes, you can gradually, like in the real world, right? We have subconscious symbols that will allow our subconscious to start feeling like we're adding worth to ourselves. For example, going to school, right? You're going to school, you're working on this goal, and your subconscious equates that with knowing more, being more prepared for a good job, being worth more money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it works a lot slower than we want it to most of the time. And it's not as efficient. And there are all these other things that you are doing also in order to move yourself towards those goals, but you're not paying attention to them, and you're not getting the subconscious on board with equating those things with value. Basically, what you are trying to do is give your every effort that you make in your life a symbolic monetary value so that your subconscious is like, whoa, look at all we have accumulated. We actually are worth more money than I thought. And that will translate in all kinds of ways. I touched my nose. Kate, touch your nose if you drank raw milk in the last 2 days. I actually have raw milk in my coffee right now. Miss Mumsy says, I write in all caps, habit. That's funny. Sounds like a Pig Iron Patriot says, sounds like the power of positive thinking and is interesting. Yeah, power of positive thinking ain't no joke. It really is. Well, you guys, I hope this has been helpful and that you may have learned a thing or two. That's about all I have. If you guys go to thecleanlivingproject.com, all of the episodes are there now with the the slides for the day. And so you can go there. You don't have to just go to my, they're also on my Telegram channel. You can go there and find the slides if you want to come and steal them away from me. And what else? Oh, also go to thecleanlivingproject.com if you haven't yet and fill out, this little thing will pop up and you can, if you want, put in your name and email address so that you can get notified once the Clean Living Project Apothecary launches, which I'm really excited about, very passionate about, working my ass off for right now. And it's very scary. It's very daunting. I have probably never been this afraid in my life to every time I've ever, I've started several businesses in my life, but I never had any overhead. It was like, well, not none. I, you know, when I was a hypnotherapist, I had to have an office, and that was scary. And it was like this tiny little crappy office that I think I spent, I don't know, $300 a month on or something like that. But that was huge for me because I was like, well, I need to, no, it was probably more than that. Whatever it was like, I had to have, yeah, it was definitely more than that because I knew I had to have at least three clients a month in order to make my rent for the office. And that was scary because it's, you know, you're starting a new business and you never know if it's going to come. But anyway, this is my Hail Mary. So, but I really believe in it because I think that it, I know that it's something that's going to be helping people and that I think we all need. So anyway, thecleanlivingproject.com. Oh my gosh. Arnerican says, you need to do a photo shoot of you as a mad scientist in your apothecary. I'm embarrassed to show you guys my kitchen right now. Actually, right now it's not so bad, but I'm embarrassed to show you what it looks like when I'm mixing all the things in my cauldron. Eye of Newt and toe of squirrel. Those won't be in the products, I promise. Esther G says, Kate, you've been a positive influence in my life. You are loved. The monetary value of this rant is not an indication of how much you are appreciated. Thank you. Well, Esther, thank you. And I still wear the earrings that your sister-in-law made for me, and you are a gem of a human being, and thank you so much. Miss Mumsy says, what's the apothecary? I've been MIA for a while, but I'm back. I'm going to start producing things like soap, for example. So I'm going to have a Castile soap that's ready to go, but I'm also working on a bar soap that I'm very, very excited about that my friend Annie, this incredible woman, she's just the coolest, sweetest, neatest human being. She owns an alpaca farm and she knows all the things about making soap. And she had made me this soap that I was like in hot pursuit of for months because I could not remember who gave it to me. And I had been testing all of these other soaps and kind of dabbling with the idea of having a soap, but I kept coming back to this one soap being like, I just want this soap. And finally, eventually ended up finding who made it for me. And so she graciously accepted my offer to now make these for me going forward. And I don't know what that's going to look like because it's just her making this soap, and she's going to be making a few other products for me as well. We are working together. So her soap was awesome, but we're going to be changing a couple different things about the formulation, just, you know, so, you know, it kind of catering it to me for this particular thing, which is really fun. It's fun. I find it's really fun to be able to kind of have a say, because what I had been finding out there in the big bad world was that there were a lot of people doing an awesome job at making some of the products, but there were some things that I was just like, oh, I wish they would just change this one thing. I wish they would just leave this one ingredient out, or I wish they would add in this other ingredient that has all of these benefits or whatever it is. So now I get to play around and actually become the mad scientist and help formulate all these things. But I'm really, really passionate about doing it well. And while I trust Annie, I know that she would do it beautifully if I just said, you know, here, take the reins and go. I do want to kind of help make it my own, if that makes sense. And I'm always talking to people about what it is that they want, what they're looking for. I have a lot of girlfriends. I'm constantly talking to them and their daughters, like, okay, tell me what it is that you're looking for. Like, when you wash your face, what are the things that you're trying to fix about your skin? Or what do you want to feel like? What do you want to smell like? All of those things. So anyway, Yeah, the Holy Grail soap. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to call it, because that's what I was calling it the entire time. I was like, my friend Cheryl was trying to help me, and I was like, but we got to find the Holy Grail soap. And then what do? I posted on social media. I was like, if you gave me soap, please let me know. I'm trying to find you. And I didn't hear anything. And so it was just like, I had given up. I had given up on the soap. But anyway, super, super cool. So guys, thank you so much. I do have a little happy moment that I will leave you with. Let us close out. Goodbye, YouTube. Love you much. Well, not YouTube, but I love the people over there. Remove. All right, that's done. Save changes. Awesome, you guys. Well, I will see you next week for the Clean Living Project. Same bat time, same bat channel. I will also see you hopefully for the Kate Awakening live now on Monday nights at 9 p.m. just before Baseless Conspiracies. And as always, the slides for this will be up on my Telegram channel directly after this, and they are already up on thecleanlivingproject.com. So thank you guys so much for being here, and I just appreciate you. Have a great day. Bye.